God is good, and all the time. Awesome. I'd like everyone to stand up, greet one another, share tips of how to winterize your house with one another. Everybody needs it, especially if you have neighbors from the South. Have a seat. God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
Okay. All right. If you'll notice with your bulletin, we've got a lot of different little inserts. Some I want to draw attention to. Of course, you've got Cliff Soppy's Cliff Notes in here. Be sure to look over those during the next week. Also, the series that we've currently been doing, Advent Conspiracy, we have sort of a little flyer that gives some of the details of that. So if you've missed the past few weeks, you know, you can look at this, kind of get a bit of a recap with what that's all about. Also, it gives a bit of the story that of how that originated and some of the pastors that came up with that. So another announcement, another flyer, this pretty pink flyer that says Caring Ministries at the top. Something that Caring Ministries does is they like to give meals to people that have had surgeries and that are home from the hospital, or maybe someone just had a baby. Caring Ministries will deliver meals to them. So if you're interested in cooking for those meals, whether it be an entire meal, a casserole dish, salad, whatever, sign up, put your name on that, drop that in the offering plate. Eric likes to sample everything that you bring in, so be sure to put a little something to the side for him. So he's all for that. Also, as far as putting things in the offering plate, be sure to put your connection card, fill that out, okay, in the offering plate. Do something with that. And also, we're going to be talking about ways to be creative for Christmas and different organizations that we can give money to sponsor kids for Christmas. Be sure to write some of those. Eric will give you more instructions on that later, but be sure to remember to write some of those on this connection card if you think of some or if they come to you. How many of you were at the Christmas cantata last night? All right. Okay, so many of you were a part of the 463 that we had here in attendance last night. So praise God for that. Thank you, everyone who took a part in that and who were involved in that. Thank you so much. Also, some other announcements. Jamie told me to tell you that there will be, at first I thought she said Snow Choir is meeting on Wednesday. And I said, there's a Snow Choir? But she said no choir. So there's no choir on Wednesday. So, and was there something else that you told me? What was it? Anything else? Cantata tonight is at 6:30 at First Baptist. So if you didn't get to see it, go over to the First Baptist and see that at 6:30. So we're excited that you're all here, and let's just open things up with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the change of the seasons. We thank you for just the variation that you have with weather, and Lord, we just thank you for everyone who got out of their warm, cozy beds and fought the wind and the snow to get here, Lord, so that they can fellowship with one another, Lord, and so that they can hear you and get a message from you. And so, Lord, we just pray that you speak to us and that you be with us in this service. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Amen. I'd like to invite Courtney and Andrew to come up and do our Advent reading and lighting.
On this third Sunday of Advent, we light the angel's candle. We light this candle as a symbol of joy. May the joyful promises of your presence, O God, make us rejoice in your hope of salvation. O come, Emmanuel. The gospel tells us in Luke 2, verse 8:14, in the region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for you see, I am bringing you good news of joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. We will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel. There was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among men whom he favors." We fear the dark because we can't see or don't know what's there. But once the light goes on or a friend stands beside us, we feel more at ease. It is natural to fear the unknown. Whether to learn, the emptiness of the unknown is filled. "Don't be afraid," the angel said to the shepherds. "The amazing news that Jesus was born, God is coming to us, making himself vulnerable to us, the creator of all that is, the Alpha, the Omega, as a tiny baby boy."
Let us pray. Dear God, we are not afraid because we know that you are with us and always. The coming of the Son and his brightened our way so that we can see through the darkness so to where we have to, where you have us go. We rejoice in Christ. Amen. Please join us as we sing the third verse of O Come, Emmanuel, found on page 211.
Take your hymnals, stand with us as we sing hymn number 213, Lift Up Your Heads, You Mighty Gates. Please stand with us as we sing. God, we come before you this day to celebrate all that you have planned to come into our lives, God. We thank you so much for this season of Advent where we celebrate the fact that your Son comes to us humans. You, Lord, your life, your Spirit comes to us, and we call him Jesus. And we thank you so much for that amazing, amazing gift. As we worship you this morning, as we gather on this cold and blustery day, we ask for your powerful anointing to be upon us, God. Guide us and direct us in our worship. Help us, Lord, to focus our hearts and our minds and our souls on you, the only one who really, really matters, God. Fill us full. May all darkness, may all negative thoughts run scared from your presence in this holy day. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Join me in song number 234, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Come ye to Bethlehem.
kids. You know what time it is. Come on down. Time for Kids Corner.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do.
I love Jesus. How about you?
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus,
yes I do.
I love Jesus, how about you?
All right. As you can tell, I am not Diane Gokenauer. She is much prettier than me, isn't she? Yes. They don't even want to answer that one. She couldn't make it this morning, so I thought I would help her out. And if in our scripture today, there is a very cool place here in the Gospel of John. See that right there? This is in the New Testament, whenever you go home and get your Bible. See the Gospel according to John? And right here it says in chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us." And the Word became flesh and lived among us. You know what? What are we getting ready to celebrate this time of year? Christmas, that's right. Now, what is Christmas? Christmas? Yeah. Hey, you're good. The birth of Jesus Christ. I didn't feed him, I swear. He didn't even know that was coming. So, you know what? It is important this time of year that we remember, although it's a lot of fun doing all the different things that we do, it is so important that we remember what this is about. The creator of all that is. The creator that knew you before you were born, that same creator came to earth, and we celebrate that, and we named him Jesus, right? We didn't, of course. The people back then did, right? But we humans, I guess is what I meant, named him Jesus, and that was God's son on earth. But you know what's cool about this scripture? If you, I know you don't want to hear all about this, but if you would go back and look at the original language the Bible was written in, it says, "The Word became flesh and pitched tent among us." Anybody here ever gone camping? Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, it's kind of like God coming to earth and pitching tent among us humans. Kind of like God coming to earth and camping out, right, with us. Yeah, that's right. And all the things that happen when we camp, right? You've never burnt anything whenever you're camping, have you? You haven't? Oh, okay. Not even s'mores? Yeah. But anyway, what I want you to remember this morning is that God came and lived among us. And what do we call him? There you go, Jesus. I heard you whispering it. Right, Stephen? Yeah, I'm over here. Just like at home, I'm over here. I'm not over there. All right, so let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for this idea and this reality that you came and pitched tent among us, God. We give you praise of Jesus because of Jesus' life. We thank you, Lord, that we can pray to you. We can live in your spirit all because of Jesus' birth, life, and of course his death and resurrection. We thank you, God, for that wonderful, wonderful gift. And as these kids look forward to Christmas, God, help us all remember that that's what Christmas is about. Now, God, I ask you in Jesus' holy name to anoint these kids with your protection, God. May your hedge of protection be around them no matter where they go and what they do, and may they know they are safe in your arms. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Grab those cups right there, and that way we can collect for missions. All right. Thank you, guys.
While the kids collect change, if you would turn to hymn number 220 and sing "Angels from the Realms of Glory."
That's what he forgot.
Angels from the realms of glory.
you would take your bulletin and turn on the very back of it, you'll see where it says, please remember in your prayers. We have a list of those who are recovering from surgery at home. Maybe they're sick. Those living in assisted living, nursing care facilities. Be sure to keep those in your prayers. Keep those names and faces in your prayers. Also keep Ray and Debbie Chapin in your prayers, as well as Debbie Morrow, as they're all undergoing kind of some series of surgeries and doctor's visits and that sort of thing. So keep them in your prayers. As in way of joys, Ashley Pittman recently graduated from college with magna cum laude from Warrensburg. So that's a big joy. And something personal to Stacy and I, back in October, her father was diagnosed with cancer. And we found out just this past week that the doctors have considered him cancer-free. So praise that's God. A big praise as well. So we're excited to see them, because it'll be the first time we've seen them since he was diagnosed. And so we're just really happy to be with them in that. So let's lift up these names in prayer. Did you want to say something?
I apologize.
Okay. I saw you stand.
Yeah, so. I'm sorry. First of all, something that regarding last night, 463, praise God, amazing worship experience. But one thing that is not... it's noticed in that it happens, but many people, just even me included, tend to overlook it, and it's all the people that set up and tear down. I mean, it's important that you understand, when we finished up last night, there were 103 or 105 chairs up here, and within an hour, it looked like this. And without those people to stick around and help clean up and everything, it would just be... really difficult. I mean, some of us would be here till midnight, right? We almost weren't. No, not really. But anyway, I just want to lift up that as a joy that we have folks that are willing to set up and tear down and do those things, and they never get the glory. They're never in front of people, but praise God for them that they're able to do that. Yeah.
I think Jimmy Johnson's pit crew is here to help us kind of switch things out pretty fast.
So yeah, there you go. There you go. Hey, that'd be a good... Yeah, anyway.
There you go.
Also, one other thing. We have another graduation, associate degree, nursing class of 2010. Sienna has graduated, so make sure that you congratulate her as well. Thank you.
Let's pray. God, we lift up these names and we lift up these faces to you, those who need a touch from you, God, maybe those who need a word from you. And so, God, we lift them up to you, and we also just thank you and celebrate the way that you work through their lives, the way you work through our lives, and showing yourself to us and showing us that you love us and showing us that you are good. And so, Lord, we lift these names up to you, and we put them in your hands. And, Lord, just be with us. Continue to draw us into your presence in this service, God. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Awesome.
Thank you, kids.
Good job.
Spark. Thank you, choir.
All right, if you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. While you're turning there, let's talk Philippians. Who wrote Philippians? Paul wrote Philippians. He wrote it as a letter to the church in Philippi. And Philippi was the first church in Europe. It's in northern modern-day Greece now. But this was the first church in Europe. And he wrote this letter to encourage them from prison. So you can read through Philippians and see all the encouraging words that he has for them, talking about light of the world and humility, the gospel advancing. And keep in mind that he's writing this from prison. So once you get to Philippians 2, hold your place and go ahead and stand. And say the Bible pledge with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So from prison, Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 1, starting in verse 1. He says, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, I have to tell you, whenever I came to church early this morning, I'm so petite, I just about blew away. It was something else. What? I told the 8 o'clock service I lost my wig and everything. But anyway, sincerely, thank you so much for braving the elements this morning and coming to worship here. We sure appreciate that. And isn't it a great joy and honor that we can even do this? And so thank you so much for being here. Well, this is the third week of our teaching series, Advent Conspiracy. And Paul kicked off this teaching series with his message, Worship Fully, after talking about how the news and malls and businesses announce their sales and say, Happy Holidays, he concluded his message like this. And I want to share with you again, is it their story to tell or is it ours? And he continued, have we gotten to the point where we have gotten tired of telling the Christmas story and expect the mall to tell the story of Christ for us? So when you're going out, Paul said, to get Christmas gifts and or receive them, have fun, but don't get so sucked into the consumerism that you forget the real reason why there is such a thing as Christmas. He said, ask yourself this question. What am I announcing to this world, money or Christ? and then ask which one really matters in the end. I'm going to bring that up each week we do this because I think that is a pretty powerful question that all of us need to, even on a daily basis, reflect upon our own lives and answer that question. Last week, we looked at the idea of spending less and again focusing on the true meaning of Christmas. Remember, we began by considering a pastor's version of the history of Christianity, and that pastor's version goes like this. Christianity started in Palestine as a fellowship. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It moved to Italy and became an institution. It moved to Europe and became a culture. It came to America and became an enterprise. And we talked through that, and maybe some of us disagree with that, and probably some aspects of Christianity have done that very thing, and others have not. But it was something to get us thinking about this concept. And we came to realize that we are constantly searching for the one thing that will satisfy us. Yet each time we trust the promises of our possessions, more barriers are raised between our true selves and God's plain command to love Him. I was distracted by something beautiful up here. Above all things, it's not that we necessarily want more. It's what we want is something we cannot buy. Remember that from last week? So, you see, when Jesus came to us, He came in simplicity to a humble couple who had very little money. So the true meaning of Christmas has never been about stuff. It has always been about Him. So this week we consider the next step in our Advent conspiracy teaching series, and that is give more. And I have to admit, when Justin and I were studying for this teaching series and we got to this give more portion, I thought, now wait a minute, you just said last week to spend less. How does that go together? I didn't understand that at first. But, you know, how can we spend less and yet give more? Sounds like a good sale, right? Well, that's not what they want. Today, we get started, and I have a clip here of Pastor Greg Holder. He is one of the ones, this guy is actually in St. Louis, in the St. Louis area, and he is one of the three pastors that renewed this Advent conspiracy idea. Let's watch that.
So the truth about us is we accumulate lots of stuff. Sometimes this is because we get caught in the hyper-consumerism of the world. Sometimes it's because we start to believe the lie that more is the answer. And so we just keep piling more and more stuff into our world. And we cram our closets full and our attics and our basements and even our garages. And when those get full, then we go rent storage units so that we can keep even more of our stuff. Stuff that we may never even see again. And we know this is crazy. So when we start talking about this idea of spending less, it makes sense to most of us because the last thing we need, deep down, the last thing we need is more stuff in our lives. And the last thing we want to do at Christmas is to give and receive more stuff. But even that gets kind of complicated because we're not really sure what Christmas would be like without all of this stuff. See, sometimes the craziness gets so ingrained in us that we start to worry about what it will be like if there isn't a 3-foot stack of presents around the tree. Are my friends going to get it? Is my family going to enjoy Christmas? We're not telling you to stop giving gifts this Christmas. In fact, we're suggesting that you give a different kind of gift this year.
We started talking a lot about how to give differently and how to love well. It put a lot of words to stuff that I'd already kind of felt over the past couple of years.
I think people want Christmas to be meaningful. And I think they want it to be more than just buying a sweater for a loved one. It's an easy sell. It makes sense to people.
My parents started just feeling like, you know what, let's do something that's more personal for each other around the holidays.
We've begun to tell our kids the story of St. Nicholas. There really was a man named Nicholas who lived in what we would call Turkey. He was born to parents of means. They died when he was a young boy. And as best we can tell, he did not rely or coast on the family wealth, but ended up, by the end of his life, giving it all away. At some point, he becomes a bishop of the church there, a leader in the church. In 325 AD, this bishop attended the council at Nicaea. We know that this council came out and took a strong stand for the deity of Jesus. Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel. And some of the most reliable stories we have about him had to do with him giving away his wealth to those who were in need and standing up against injustice. Some say after he died that others continued his tradition of generosity and giving to those in need. You see, we can tell this story and remind ourselves and our kids that there's more than just receiving that happens at Christmas. If it's just about receiving gifts, then we're really missing the point of Christmas. Because there is a chance for the giver and the receiver to experience joy at Christmas. When we talk about giving more in the Advent conspiracy, we're not talking about the kind of gifts that clutter up our closets and attics and garages. We're talking about a completely different kind of gift, the relational gift. Because let's face it, the best gift you've ever given or received at Christmas was a personal gift. And the worst gift you've ever given or received at Christmas was a gift that required no thought at all. In fact, it probably screamed, "I haven't thought about you in a long time. I just felt obligated to give you something, so here it is." But when we look at the birth of Jesus, we don't see that in any way. In fact, there's never been a more thoughtful, personal gift ever given. Before the foundations of the earth, God thought about this gift.
It's kind of challenged me, not just during Christmas, but even...
I apologize about the top of his head there. We have widescreen screens, and our DVD player is not a widescreen DVD player. So I apologize about that. I hope it didn't take away from the message. But if you've been thinking for the last several weeks that I am advocating that you buy no gifts this Christmas, today I hope you'll realize that that is not the case. Jesus received gifts at what we would call the first Christmas, even though it was probably in June sometime. We celebrate the fact that Magi, no, they were not kings, Magi, and there were probably many, more than three, came and gave gifts to Jesus. Okay? So that is where this idea of gift giving began. But what I want you to consider is the fact that the real gift that we celebrate at Christmas is Christ giving of himself. Christ giving of himself. It was not a knee-jerk reaction either. It had been thought out from the very beginning. Now listen to our scripture today again as we read Philippians 2, 4 through 11. Listen to this. Let each of you not look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, now listen, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now, I want you to hear that one more time, starting at 5 there. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You see, the gift that we celebrate is Christ emptying himself and becoming fully human. I mean, honestly, guys, what a gift. What a gift is that? The creator of the universe decides, you know what? I want to be in a better relationship with these people. And so he comes to earth as a human. He pitches tent, so to speak, among us. And if you read the text carefully, it seems as though Jesus did this and wasn't expecting, you know, that pat on the back, so to speak. Now let's look at this. So we read the scripture here. So he did all these things. He emptied himself. He took the form of a slave. He was born in human likeness and found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And then Paul says, therefore, what a powerful word. In other words, because of what comes before, all right? Because of what comes before, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. Sometimes what keeps coming to mind is every knee shall bow. Remember, you know, that's, I keep wanting to say that, and I think Justin almost said that as he read the scripture this morning. But every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus did these things not because he was expecting anything in return. Jesus did these things, and therefore God has exalted Jesus the Christ above everything. So that no matter what happens, what faith you are, whatever you are, everything, even rocks, right? Because rocks will cry out if we don't. Remember that? Even rocks will bow or should bend. Their knee should bend, right? So everything is under Christ. Everything. So, you know, if you think about that, this is an amazing, amazing gift, and it shows what Christmas is about. Because Christ gave himself, Christ emptied himself, Christ gave every bit of who he was to us, human beings, humanity. I believe he did this because he wanted a relationship with us, and we weren't getting it done. Think about the Old Testament. I think the story of the Hebrew people is a story about Eric Dirks or Ted Gatliff or whoever, right? I think all of us could read that story in the Old Testament of the Hebrew people and find their self in there somewhere, right? We keep, God and us keep making covenants with each other, right? And what happens to the people? What happens to the Hebrew people? Well, either they lose interest. Everything starts going really good in their life and they forget why that is, right? And so they lose interest and maybe go down another path, right? They move away from God. Or, you know, they just make a mistake, which is easy to do. Whatever it is in their life, whatever it is in our life, we fade away from a relationship and that covenant with God. So God says, you know what? I just want to get it done myself. And so Jesus comes to earth. Jesus gives his life. Jesus gives everything he is for us and that relationship for us. So he put time and energy into the gift, and while Jesus was alive, he served people. He believed that in that, he believed in it so strongly that he gave himself away. Now I'd like you to think about some ways that you can give of yourself this Christmas. Think of some ways that you can give your time. Think of some ways that you can give your efforts. Maybe apply your attention to people. I want you to think about that as a gift for their Christmas gift. Instead of going out and buying a gift, right? Think about ways that you can personally give to these people that may be a life-changing experience for them. Now, Justin already mentioned it once, but I'd like you to get out your connection card, right? Please don't use this as a time to fill them out. I hope you've already done that, especially if you're visiting with us. That'll be a way for us to say thank you so much for worshiping. But I want you to get that out and grab a pen or a pencil, and I want you to be thinking about ways that you can give of yourself. And I have, maybe this will spark your imagination a little bit, because I have another video clip I want to show you here that'll with some ideas.
And just wonders like, God, what is the blessing that you want to share with this person? Use me to provide that for them. And so each card would have a quote, some piece of art, and then I made donations to different organizations based on the person. And so when I showed up in Kentucky with these presents, they're all like, what did you do? But it started an amazing conversation with my family.
It's not giving more things, it's giving more of me to other people.
We grew up going to Cardinals games, and that's what our family did. And so we just had a ton of memories of that stadium. I took a bunch of their pictures that he had taken of the old stadium and then some of the demolition progress and then some of the new stadium, and I put it together into a book for him. Man, when I gave it to him on Christmas morning, man, they just wept. It was just real, real powerful.
When we re-enter the story ourselves, we begin to find that Christmas is loaded with possibilities. And so that will require us slowing down. It may require us pushing things around in our schedule and making room for people. It will certainly require us listening and noticing. I think it's Dallas Willard who says that maybe the first act of love is the giving of attention. So maybe that's where you start. You just start by paying attention to that other person. And then you allow you and God and your imagination to kind of go from there. If you get stuck, well, maybe we can help with that. The reason we put together this website called Rethinking Christmas was so that together we could begin to share these ideas of how we're giving relationally. But what we'll also find out is that even if you come up with a cool idea, it's going to cost you.
For each person, it was probably, you know, maybe an hour to an hour and a half commitment, something like that, depending on the person, how well I knew them, how much I really had to sit and think about what to create for them.
So I'd like to hear some ideas. Maybe it's things that you have done through the years already, ways of honoring people and helping other people out. Anything out there of what you do or what maybe you just thought of in listening to all this that you can do to give yourself, give people attention? As Dallas Willard said, the first act of love is the giving of attention. Any ideas? Heifer Project. Excellent. A family in the 8 o'clock service said that they adopt a child. For each of their kids, I believe it was, they adopt a child in that regard. Visiting shut-ins. Food to the warm house, right? Maybe even working a day or two in the warm house, right? Ringing a bell? Hospice. If you get this insert out while you're thinking, it's this gray insert. I do hope you take time to read this, but if you turn to what would be considered the back of it and you see give more, there, right above Give More, it says head to RethinkingChristmas.com. And that has ideas that you can, instead of, you know, going to the store and buying a gift that they may not even use, you can give them a gift of, in many ways, on this RethinkingChristmas.com. There are many different ways that you can give gifts and help someone locally, help someone in this nation, help someone around the world in that regard. So also, if you receive prayer warriors, I sent out something, and Cliff sent that out over prayer warriors for me, and I'm trying to remember the web address. I meant to do that during the Sunday school hour, and I got distracted. But if you receive prayer warriors, make sure that you look at the prayer warriors, because last week there was a way for us through the General Board of Global Ministries. Cliff, do you remember what that web address was? General Board of Global Ministries, that you can help other people in that way. And that's a United Methodist organization. This RethinkingChristmas.com, it's a part of Advent Conspiracy. It's fine. It's, you know, it's has great ideas. It is not a part of United Methodist Church, though, which is, I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just wanting you to know that. There's also, we have a, it's the size of a magazine. It's called Advances. And do you realize you can open up that Advances magazine, and it has countries listed and all the United Methodist ministries in each of those countries. So if you have a country that is close to your heart or someone that you're going to give a gift to, you know that they're really passionate about Mozambique or something like that, you can open up that Advances magazine, look at Mozambique, and see all the different ministries that the United Methodist Church has there, and you can give to that ministry in the name of whoever you're giving the gift for. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand that? There's just amazing things. And also, in that regard, because they're United Methodist Advances and because of the apportionments that we pay, there is no overhead in those advances. 100%, dollar for dollar, goes to that ministry. All right? So it's important that you understand things like that. These are the things that we're wanting you to consider with this Advent Conspiracy Program, along with giving your time, visiting shut-ins, working at places like the Warm House, ringing the bell, all those types of things. It always amazes me, Loops of Love, and what they make with those prayer shawls, right? Every person that I talk to about those prayer shawls, it means so much to them. Does it necessarily keep them warm? No, not necessarily. Why does it mean so much to them? Because they know with every loop, there's a prayer. And there's a lot of people that put many prayers into each of those. And so anytime they wrap that around them, they feel those prayers in physical ways that that prayer shawl allows them to feel that. Does that make sense? That is giving your time. That's giving your attention. Time is expensive, right? And it is so much more important in people's lives than just going out and buying something because you feel like you should. That's what we're saying in this Advent Conspiracy. Yes? You're forgiven. Collecting empty prescription bottles.
And so we collect them. She's no longer able to do it, but we collect them from anybody who will give them to us. And then we buy M&Ms. And we fill those empty, we take the labels off, fill the empty prescription bottles with M&Ms, send them to missionaries all over the world. The missionaries get to eat the M&Ms, and then they use the prescription bottles to dispense medications in whatever country they're in.
So you get the medicine bottles donated, you take the labels off, you fill them with M&Ms, send them to missionaries all over the world, they eat the M&Ms, know you're thinking about them, praying for them, right? And then they use the prescription bottle for medicine. Excellent. Excellent. If you have any ideas, for instance, if you adopt children and it's a company that you trust, write it down on your connection card and make sure everyone put those connection cards in the offering basket. But I would like to create a list and, I don't know, send them out over Prayer Warriors or maybe put them in an insert or something so all of us can benefit from your ideas. So if you would do that for me, email me, just however you can get me that information, I would greatly appreciate that because I know a lot of people don't do this more because they're like, man, can I trust that my money is getting where I think it's going to go? And if you've had good luck with these companies, please let me know so that we can share that and people can benefit on the other, because the need's out there. Amen. Amen. So if you would do that, I would greatly appreciate that. Well, in conclusion, don't forget that the reason we fall into consumerism is that we are constantly searching for the one thing that will satisfy us. Each time we trust the promises of our possessions, more barriers are raised between our true selves. Remember I talked about that last week? I think a lot of our isms is because we are looking for something to fill this hole that's in our heart. whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography or consumerism, whatever the ism is in your life. You know, and it's interesting to me, like I said last week, God gave us a free gift that empowers us, heals us, and does so much more than we can ever imagine, and yet we would rather spend our money on something that doesn't fill anything. You understand what I'm saying? Why do humans do that? Why do we do that? This amazing gift that we've been given is totally free. Totally free. And yet we would rather sometimes give our lives when it comes to some of these other isms that we live with, amen, than we would to accept this free gift that God has given us. We need to remember that it is our story to tell, not some mall or TV station or news broadcast. It's our story to tell. We Christians are to share the story. That is why we are called Christians. Consider spending less this Christmas so that you can truly give more in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for these three pastors who took a very old concept that is very scriptural and made it new to us in a culture that has moved so far away from that. Help us, God, as a church, anoint us, fill us full of ideas so that we can truly be a healing presence in this community, so that we can work in Jesus' name to make the lives in this community and around the world whole again. Empower the missions of this church, God, to glorify your name. In Jesus' holy name, amen. If you are able, would you please stand for our song of invitation, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Let's sing the first three stanzas.
Hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's greater son. Hail in the time appointed, his reign on earth begun. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression.
To invite our ushers to come forward at this time as we begin taking offering. And also, as you're doing that, if you turn to hymn number 94, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
creatures here be.
Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for today. We praise you that you show yourself to us. We praise you for coming into our lives and into our hearts. And God, just as we are in this season and in this series of Advent and Advent Conspiracy, God, give us the grace to worship you fully. And Lord, also give us the grace to meet with you and to give our presence to you. Lord, just as you have given your presence to us in such a rich way. God, we give these tithes and offerings to you. We dedicate these to you. And Lord, may we dedicate our lives to your service. We say this in your name. Amen.
Our closing song is The First Noel. You'll find it on page 245. Let's sing verse 1 and 2.
So much for being here today. Our prayer is that you felt God's presence as we worship together. I do want to share one thing that I didn't share earlier, and that is a way for you to give a gift of Christmas that really means something, and that is our angel tree. All the tags are gone. Thank you very much, but we need those back, those gifts back today, tomorrow at the very, very latest, because we have to organize all those gifts and get those to the families. So please, if you took one of those tags and have not brought the gift back yet with the tag on the outside of it, please do that today or tomorrow at the very latest. Everybody understand that? Amen? All right. Go from this place knowing that you are absolutely a child of God and you are not alone. Let's say that together. I am a child of God. And I am not alone. Say it again. I am a child of God, and I am not alone. Remember that as you go from this place. Help others understand that they are a child of God as well. There's a lot of people out there who feel totally unworthy. Help them understand that God loves them so very much. So go from this place with that confidence, knowing that you are a child of God. We love you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God richly bless you, and may you experience God's shalom this week. Amen.